Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. Tonight, we explore Yuletide cheer for the pandemic year. And what I'd like to share with you tonight are some ways that you can consider celebrating Yuletide yourself, with your household, in safe and hopefully joyful ways. I'm coming to you live via CSNP, Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, the Nature Spirituality Podcast, and if the internet connectivity works, I am coming to you live through my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page. And this workshop, podcast, visit with you all is part of a series of Yuletide presentations that I am doing in December 2020. I've had Yule traditions that have been part of my life since I was a child, certainly having a tree of one sort or the other as part of the celebration has been an important part. Feasting and food, sharing of gifts and greetings, holidays, decorations. Well, 2020 is a year like no other in my living memory, and because of the pandemic and it raging in so many places across the U.S. and around the world, it's important to be aware that we need to celebrate Yuletide in some different ways, some additional ways, and I hope I can share with you some things that you will find joyful and fun, for we need to celebrate Yuletide. But having gatherings, as we've done in the past, indoors or even outdoors at this point, can run the risk of spreading the COVID-19 virus. So it is best to be able to celebrate at home, and if we do go out and about, to really limit those trips, to wear a mask, be totally aware of social distancing. And I think if you really feel like you need to get out and about, I'd suggest that you consider doing a driving experience and look at Yuletide light displays in the neighborhood. One of the things about the driving option for celebrating Yule, that's been part of my Yuletide experience throughout my life, it does give you the opportunity, you and whoever's in your pod or bubble where you live, you all can go out together and experience the joy of Yuletide in the form of lights. Now, some community have light displays. Some of them are free, some are by donation, some you actually need to sign up online and find a time for you to drive through the display. And whatever you choose to do, if you are going out to view lights, I recommend that you take mask along and that you stay in your car so that you stay safe. One of the real problems with the pandemic is that the virus spreads by people who aren't even aware they have it. And people can be asymptomatic and spreading it even before they develop symptoms, if they ever do develop the symptoms. So this year, rather than focusing on what you aren't able to do like you've done in the past, find some ways of taking some existing traditions and give them a new twist, a new form, so that you will be able to continue to celebrate Yuletide, but have this in a joyous, safe way. So I have some ways to get Yuletide cheer for this pandemic year. I have with me my little tree bell that I will use to signal some of the points that I'll be sharing with you tonight. Live streaming! I love live streaming for celebrating the Sabbath, and I've been getting lots of experience this year because Circle Sanctuary's last event, that was a big festival event with lots of people coming together, was February 1st. And so our center has been closed for various festivals and moons. We've moved our festivals and moons and some other activities online as a way of being able to continue to celebrate. And there's all sorts of opportunities to celebrate the seasons with online events. Now, some online events are all pre-recorded and they can be really fabulous. Indeed, if you watch television-produced specials, they've all been put together in advance, and whether you watch them on your mobile devices or your computer or a television set, there are some amazing things that are available in mainstream media and on the web. But I'd like to talk a bit about live stream Yuletide events. One of the things about live stream is that you can get a sense of gathering with others depending on what form of live stream you are tuning into. I'm doing this podcast through Facebook Live, and that is an opportunity for all of you who are choosing to join in live or later to be able to not only connect with me in real time, but connect with the people that are watching. So for those of you who are watching the live stream as I'm doing my podcast, I invite you to share where you're watching from and if you have a favorite Yuletide symbol that's part of your celebrations. And as you not only tune in to things that I'm sharing, I invite you to track the comments in the live stream. That's one way that you can have the experience of gathering with others with Yuletide cheer and spirit. And by having the interaction in Facebook, you can put hearts and likes as you are doing the live stream. You can put comments. People share where they're from. Sometimes people can locate others by finding out as people post where they're from and make connections that way. So live streams on Facebook is something that I'm developing skills in, but there's other platforms as well, and Circle Sanctuary has used a variety of platforms during this pandemic year for our full moons and our Sabbath celebrations. We have some celebrations coming up here in 2020. We are going to have our annual Community Yule Fest, our first Community Yule Fest online. And it will be a combination of some pre-recorded pieces and some live stream. I'm going to do a live stream workshop on Wassail, which is Saxon for to your health and good cheer. So I'm going to talk about wassail, the drink, and wassailing traditions. And it's my hope that those who will be tuning in live will be in a place where you could actually make your own wassail. So we'll get some information out on social media about what you need, essentially a crock pot or a pan, some apple cider and some spices and some apples and a lot of holiday cheer. And I will share a bit about how to make this delicious Yuletide drink and as part of a live stream. So other platforms include YouTube, and we've started doing live streams to the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel for our full moon celebrations and some of our Sabbaths. And our Yule Festival is going to go to the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel. It'll be on December 19th. We have another event that we're going to live stream, and if we can get the tech to work, we may even experiment with not only live streaming it at the Circle Sanctuary Facebook page, but also the YouTube channel. So stay tuned to social media to learn more about that. I'll also be doing a full moon circle on New Year divination. Part of the reason I have been working with live stream, not just for Yuletide, but through the year, is to have a sense of being able to gather in cyberspace, to experience community in real time. And while that's a different experience than physically being with a whole lot of people in a room or in an outdoor concert, for example, it does give one a sense of connection. So in addition to the live stream factor, these are not only ones that are planned in advance, such as our Yule Festival and our Longest Night celebration and our full moon circle this month, but one of the things that I do at my Selena Fox Update Facebook page are what I call pop-up live streams, in which I will, often it's in the morning, Central Time, I will share a chant, I'll share some information, make some announcements, and part of the reason for doing pop-up live streams is to have another opportunity to interact with others, with all of you who may be happening to tune in at that time. So we have the live stream as a way of gathering with others safely. Then we have the Zoom ritual and the Zoom social. And sometimes they blend together. And Zoom is something I've gotten to use a lot in this pandemic year, as well as a whole lot of other people. It's a video conferencing platform. But you'll also find there's ways to converge with others, multiple people, through some other platforms. Google Duo has been a thing for people. FaceTime, if you have iPhones. There's a Facebook Live chat. There's something called Facebook Rooms. There's a variety of different ways that you can gather socially in cyberspace through video conferencing. So I'd like to share with you some ways to have some Yuletide cheer in this pandemic year by organizing a Yule party on Zoom. Well, first of all, figure out where you're going to host it. Are you going to be the host or are you going to be the facilitator? It's really helpful many people find in doing Zoom events with others, and this goes not only for Yuletide events but throughout the year, is to do some testing of the location where you're going to be doing the Zoom, originating or hosting a Zoom from. Check out the lighting, check out the sound, check out the bandwidth of whatever your internet connection is. I get my internet by satellite, and it can be sporadic at times, depending on how many people are using the internet, that satellite system, and what the weather is doing. Now, if you have true broadband, chances are you're going to have a more stable, reliable internet for that to happen. It's a good idea to make a list of those you would like to invite to the Zoom. And some people find it really helpful to passcode protect the Zoom gathering. So that way, only those you have invited will be able to be there. You actually have people come into a waiting room and then you admit them. As I mentioned before, it can be really a good practice to have two people involved with a Zoom social production. One person to handle the tech, that's our term for the technology connected with it, making sure that the Zoom is working, looking at chat, and sometimes you may have some messaging with other people there if they're having some trouble getting on it, being able to track the chat and admit people, reconnect people, provide tech support. All of that's really helpful. To have somebody, that's their main job. They can still be part of the Zoom. But also having a facilitator and having a plan. And it does, you don't have to structure it really heavily. If you're doing a ritual, it is helpful if you're going to have a number of different people speaking, singing, playing music, doing some part, to actually get together and do a rehearsal. If you all haven't worked together before, you may want to rehearse it the day or so before, just making sure everybody's connections are working. That way, if you're doing a ritual, that you flow through it, people have a sense of it, and then those who are joining in when you actually do the Zoom event can just flow with it as well without having to fumble around and scramble to fix any kind of tech issues at the time. That said, even if you do some good preparation, you need to be flexible and aware and be ready to respond to whatever may happen. It's the internet after all, and there can be unpredictabilities depending on where you live and what hardware you're using, what software you're using, what platform you're on. All of those things are important to track. A Zoom social is getting together with others and being able to socialize just as if you were face-to-face. A Zoom ritual may have a social component. For our full moon circles that we've been doing every month, we have the rehearsal part for all the presenters, then we launch it and do the Zoom and live stream it. Often in the recent months it's been to our YouTube, and then once we're done with the live streaming, then those of us who have been in the Zoom room do a short social afterwards. I do think if you're going to be doing a Zoom social, you ought to set a time limit. Many people prefer something like 45 minutes to an hour. There is something that my husband, Dr. Dennis Carpenter, who's a professor of psychology at the University of Wisconsin system, He uses Zoom a lot in his teaching. I use Zoom a lot in my work, which includes doing therapy and interreligious meetings and pagan meetings, just a variety of different things. We talk about Zoom brain. If you're on Zoom a whole lot, it's really helpful between your Zoom experiences or whatever video conferencing you're using to go take a walk, do a stretch, get outside, get away from a screen for a while and reset yourself. You'll find it will go much easier that way. And part of it has to do with duration. How long are you on the screen at a time? So some other good practices to weave into your Yuletide event is to pick a time, do the invites, share a focus, and part of a wonderful way of connectivity is to have some kind of theme. Everyone brings a symbol of Yule, for example, to share. That would be a sharing circle kind of approach. Or everyone wears some kind of Yuletide or Christmas sweater. Actually, at our Circle Sanctuary Community Yule over the last few years, pre-pandemic, we would have the Ugly Holiday Sweater Contest. And it was a lot of fun. So you might dress in a particular Yuletide attire. You might dress up as a Yuletide character and everyone be part of the Zoom and not only be present in your Yuletide attire, but be prepared to share why you picked that particular character. What meaning has that had for you? I think there are different approaches to Zoom socials. Some is very casual, free form, and a lot depends on how much the group of people that are Zooming together have been together pre-pandemic face-to-face and have had that kind of interaction. I have more experience converging people that some people I've known for years and other people brand new. And one of the things, if you're working with a new group that hasn't been together before, you may find it helpful to have the facilitator actually call on people or have people signal somehow, raise one's hand or wave as a way of the group having a flow that shares time and lets multiple people speak. One of the things that I have found helpful in facilitating different types of Zoom gatherings is to have a time where everyone does a greeting at the beginning and some kind of thing at the end to wrap it up. Give a word or phrase, something you carry from the Zoom ritual or the Zoom social into your Yuletide experience, for example. You may find having a set of questions handy for the group to discuss, and part of it depends on how large of a group that you're converging. I've done some Zoom meetings with just half dozen people or so, and I've had 20, 30, 40, 50, I've been in Zooms with over 100 people. Then it gets more challenging because you can't see everybody on one big screen unless you have some kind of technology that makes that possible. You'll see faces, but you have to scroll from one screen to another to see everyone. But still, I have had very many positive experiences working with Zoom as a way of converging community. And this Yuletide, I'll be having a chance to do that with Longest Night as we have presenters who will be sharing words and music, all joining together in the Zoom. And, of course, our full moon circle, the 29th of December 2020, which is going to be New Year Divination. So I invite you to consider a Yuletide Zoom. Now, some people will have a feast or a cocktail hour on Zoom, and there are even some trends where people set a table at their Zoom location using the same color or objects that other people are. So in a way, you get a sense of everyone at the same table, which is kind of an unusual way to have a holiday table with everyone. Or you might have everyone who's in the Zoom, your Yuletide Zoom, be by a tree or some other symbol of the season. And that way you have a chance to experience each person in their own home location. There are some other techniques for Zoom as a whole and that you may want to have as part of a Yuletide Cheer Zoom event. You may want to have each person bring some holiday decor as part of gathering. I have some holly, and this is what I call my perpetual holly, imitation holly. I have it year after year. Or you might, someone might want to have like a wreath, a tree, some kind of holiday symbol, and it can be really a lot of fun to see that festive, symbolic part of Yuletide and to see what people pick. So having some hand gestures that can be used as part of a Yuletide celebration. You can clap even though you might be muted. And one of the things about Zoom, one, unless you get some special software in the mix, you have one person at a time or one screen at a time. So being able to have everybody, if people are sharing, for example, a story and you want applause, person is speaking, and when they get done, everyone in each of their squares can clap their hands, blow kisses, wave. There's a lot of different, what you might call, social gestures that you can do as part of a Zoom experience. One of my favorite ones is to actually hold the hands out to the side and to actually imagine you all are in a big circle together. And yes, indeed, you are in a cyber circle, structured differently than a face-to-face circle. Definitely social distance. And I do think after you've done a Zoom event, you may find it helpful, while it's fresh in your mind, to make notes of what worked and what didn't work. If people are okay with it, and you should give permission ahead of time, you may consider recording your Zoom social. The whole recording piece adds another dynamic to it. Not everybody's comfortable being recorded. However, one of the good things about recording it is that, especially if you're able to share it with everybody who has Zoomed with you, you can go back and experience it again, and you sometimes can pick up on things by watching something a second or third time that you hadn't seen before. So recording it also gives you the opportunity, if you're organizing a Zoom event, a ritual, a social, a feast, a cocktail hour, to see what worked, what didn't work, and to be able to track more at kind of in retrospective. So part of the way of developing some skills is to do some recordings and to be able to review them and to find out what seems to be effective and what can be improved. And don't necessarily limit yourself to one Zoom event for Yuletide. I'll take a moment here and celebrate the Zoom social and the Zoom ritual and encourage you to consider that as part of a Yuletide celebration. Yuletide is a term that I use for the entire Yule season. Many people reserve the word Yule specifically for Winter Solstice Eve and Winter Solstice Day, some for several days right around that period of time. I'm from the tradition and inclination of having Yuletide last weeks, and some of the cultures that are part of my ancestral heritage in my heathen get up tonight will celebrate 4 weeks. And I do think there's some wonderful value in having Yuletide last a period of multiple days and nights, because then you have more opportunities to be able to celebrate Yuletide and to experiment with some new forms of celebration. Yuletide cheer with Yuletide greetings. Good Yule. I have this image which translates good Yule, and that is a term that's not only used in Scandinavia, different countries, for winter solstice time, but Christmas time, the whole holiday season. So one of the other reasons I like good Yule or Yuletide is that it crosses over into different forms of Yuletide celebration. And having some ways of being able to greet others on the phone, through video chat, in emails, posts on social media, putting Yuletide cheer out with greetings for individuals, for groups, and for the larger public. A wonderful way to spread Yuletide cheer in this pandemic year. And think about different ways of having greetings. You can go Happy Solstice, Merry Yuletide, or you might get real specific on a particular holiday within the Yuletide season. And in my next podcast next week, which I call it Good Yule, I will share more about some of those holidays. I would invite you to consider having multiple holidays within your Yuletide to celebrate, to learn about folk ways and folklore and traditions, food and chants and imagery, and to really allow yourself to learn about Yuletide and all of its diversity, and then to select some parts of that diversity to really go deep in and to resonate with. Yule is a time for making memories, and whether you've called it Yule or Yuletide your whole life, or solstice, or Christmas, or there are other holidays with lights. Hanukkah, for example, doesn't always happen really close to solstice, but this year it's happening this week. Hogmanay, the Scottish New Year, and Yuletide all rolled into one. There's many different ways of expressing Yuletide greetings. And being able to not only verbalize, but to conceptualize and to share those greetings, to share that cheer, really helps us connect, and giving that expression of a Merry Yuletide to others can help brighten their Yuletide celebration as well. Well, decking the halls, certainly there's many different ways of being able to do that, and you don't have to rely just on holly. I think having a Yuletide wreath, this is made out of box leaves, a big one, small one like this, on your front door, it's bringing some decorations into your home, and they don't have to be fancy at all. They can be things you've harvested from nature in a sacred way. If you're in a place where holly grows naturally, go and commune with the holly, and if it wants you to harvest some, then go ahead and take some into your home. Or if you aren't in a place where you're growing some holly, get some symbolic holly, such as I have here as well. And you might find having some characters, Anissa, Atomte, a Yuletide spirit, as part of your decorations, making it yourself or getting it from an artisan. My good friend Michelle of Happy Hollow Woodcrafts, who's in the heathen path, has made all sorts of nifty things, and I got this from her to brighten up my Yuletide. You may want to have some form of spirit of the season, and it might be a tree spirit as part of your decor. And one form of greeting, in addition to the verbalizing and putting on social media, is what some people would call old school. The whole idea of Yule cards, and here's two that I've gotten, some of the ones I've gotten so far this year, and I do think there's something really fabulous about giving and receiving actual cards. And so whether you're crafty and make them yourself, or you find a design that you like that's been crafted by others, it's another wonderful way of not only exchanging the Yuletide cheer, but decorating your home. Ancestral ways. What do you know about your ancestry? Don't have to do a whole genealogical study, but chances are you can at least find out a bit about the surname you have and what culture or place it may have originated from. Some people learn about their own ancestry of family through stories that are passed down through family lines. And one way of having Yuletide cheer and to have a focus to connect with family members can be to share some stories and information about family heritage, specific individuals, as well as places where the family has dwelled in time over the generations. I am a American patchwork quilt or hybrid with many strands from many different cultures and heritages. One of the holidays that I have learned about, that I continue to learn about, comes from my Swedish ancestry. Santa Lucia is a young woman, and she is depicted with a crown with candles in her hair, dressed in white with a red sash, and often she appears with other characters when it's enacted, and one of those characters is the Yule Box. Well, both of these are actually pagan symbols, although you might see them in Lutheran and other forms of Christian churches, because as with so many Yuletide symbols that have their roots in the pagan past, they continue to grow and evolve, and they have a Christian dimension to them, as well as a pagan and a secular dimension. So one of the things that I have included in my own personal Yuletide rites is the celebration of Lucina or Lucy's Day or Santa Lucia or Saint Lucia Day. And that is the 13th of December. Now, some say that it once upon a time, the calendars went through some changes several hundred years ago in Europe and other parts of the world. And some say that December 13th, once upon a time, was the time of the winter solstice. And then with calendar changes, the date for celebration from the goddess of light, the Sun Maiden, continued to stay on the 13th of December. Well, that's how it's locked in now. But many people not only celebrate on that day, but as with the Yuletide season, over the course of several days and nights. So part of how I came to understand about St. Lucia's Day and the traditions and the pagan roots to those traditions is delving into my own ancestral past and spending time researching Swedish Christmas customs and recognizing that many of the Christmas customs actually have some connections with the pagan past that have gone through changes. And there's something called Lucia Cakes, and our naturalist at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, Reed, who is also part Swedish, has made these Lucia Cakes and for our big festivals. Now, I saved some from last year's Yuletide and froze them. So part of how I'm going to connect with that holiday, which is coming up on Sunday, is thawing them out and using one as an offering to the sun goddess, as well as getting to feast on them. So I'll also be doing a podcast on my on Lucia and the pagan roots of Swedish solstice this coming Sunday, the 13th, which is Santa Lucia's Day. But if you don't know much about your personal family heritage and cultural traditions connected with the holidays through that, take a look at the ancestral traditions that are in the area of the world where you live. I happen to live near a little village called Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, which was settled by people from many different backgrounds, but it has a very strong Norwegian influence. And some of the Swedish customs and the Norwegian customs and the Finnish and the Danish all kind of intersect. And it's been really fabulous getting to also, I have some Norwegian heritage as well, but that's much further back. But being able to really learn about some of the traditions from the area where I'm living. And then another way for connecting with ancestral traditions of Yuletide is to take a look at the particular form of nature spirituality that you practice and learn about traditions that have come through time and space with that. And some traditions will have very specific customs connected with them, and others are more eclectic, weaving together many different paths. So there's a number of authors who have written about Yuletide over time, and one of the things that you may want to consider doing is being able to weave together different traditions from your spiritual path, from the locale, as well as your ancestral traditions. And some of the writers of Yuletide books and things are no longer here on the earth plane, but there's been a spirit dimension to Yuletide across a number of cultures. Many people think about the spirits and the world of the dead at Samhain time, the Sabbath right before this one, for those of us who do the eight Sabbaths of the Wheel of the Year. But Yuletide is also a time for paying attention to those who have gone before. And whether you look at Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol and its various renditions of the ghost of Christmas past and present and future, or some of the other things in mainstream culture having to do with the holidays that really take a look at Yuletide spirits as part of this, it can be a powerful way of time traveling and connecting with things that are part of the core of your being. So we honor the ancient ones and our heritages. And in Yuletide, you not only will have Santa Lucia, some of you are into, may have Dutch or some other heritage where there's Saint Nicholas, or Santa, who's really a composite being. And for some people, they actually weave together traditions that are going to get passed on to future generations. The Yuletide Fairy. And for those of Italian heritage, or those that are embracing the Yuletide Witch, the Fauna, well, part of Yuletide not only is right around winter solstice itself, but the Fauna's Night is the 5th of January, and that's a tradition that I have incorporated within my own celebrations, and that's come from ancestral traditions through contemporary paganism and people I have been friends of mine that are no longer here in time and space, so I'm able to connect with them through the magic of memories, and their spirits and their teachings live on. Yuletide lore and customs. We've talked about some of these. There's a whole host of food, as well as characters and traditions. This tree will get decorated as part of our own Yuletide celebrations. I have some German heritage, and one of the things I've learned as a fun custom is to have a Yuletide pickle, or sometimes it's called Christmas pickle, and a group adventure, if you're in a household or if you're all living together, is go have whoever's decorating the tree, well, have somebody go hide the pickle in the tree, and then on for some Yuletide event, see who can find it first, and maybe get a prize or whatever. So there's all sorts of fun things. And of course, there's feasting and imbibing and having, sharing food and beverages with others. And if you are alone in your household, I'd invite you to have your feast via social media or a video Zoom, such a Zoom social, so that you can actually connect and safely be able to bring some holiday cheer for that. I Yule log. Well, I have a hearth fire in my home here in the, I live in a forest, so getting Yule logs is pretty easy. I mean, it does involve getting some down wood, chainsawing, that type of thing, but we physically burn a Yule log. Many people don't live in a place where you easily can get oak or other wood to burn in a fireplace, or don't have a hearth fire or even an area for bonfire space. But you do not have to give up on having a Yule log. You can actually get a piece of oak, let it represent the Yule log, and put candles around it. I know some people actually will take a branch of oak and will drill into it and put in holders for candles and actually have a Yule log that way. Though there's also the Yule log in the form of a French pastry, which can be a fun form as well. Being able to have lights, and we have colored lights on our trees, and in the front of our home we have pillars on our front porch that we wrap with white lights. So we like both types of holiday lights, and you can use actual candles as part of your celebrations if you're going to be in the room with them, so that you're tracking them. You don't want to have any mishaps. Or you can do the battery-operated candle, which can be a fabulous thing. So in addition to the light of a burning Yule log or candles around something representing a Yule log, kindling candles, kindling lights, turning lights off, turning lights on at moments of representing the dawn of the new solar year, all of these traditions can be fun and bring some Yuletide cheer in this pandemic year. And sun honoring. Pay attention to where the sun is rising during the Yuletide season. If you're up at dawn, where is it rising up on the horizon? And you'll notice as we get closer and closer to solstice, it moves more and more southerly. And then for 4 days and four nights, the sun appears to come up at the exact same place on the horizon when it rises, and setting the same place on the horizon during sunset. The name solstice comes from this phenomena. Sun stands still. Sol, sun, that's Latin, stis, meaning standstill. So as you track the sun as part of a celebration, you have a chance to be able to really attune more deeply to sun, which is the heart of the Yuletide season. So these are just a few of the ways that I suggest that you have some Yuletide cheer during this pandemic year. And of course, finding some ways of singing and chanting can really help. And here is a very simple chant that I will leave you with. Yuletide joy, Yuletide cheer, Yuletide spirit, welcome here. 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 There is lots more information about some ways to celebrate Yuletide at the Circle Sanctuary website. And if you haven't visited, it's circlesanctuary.org, and you'll see my guide to celebrating the seasons. I have articles and chants and links to podcasts, and I'm also starting to put my Yuletide chants up at my Selena Fox YouTube channel. And I also am starting to share some Yule lore via Instagram, as well as I'm hoping to be able to do some more live streams right here on Facebook Live, as well as the podcasts that are part of CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. So I have podcasts from the past, as well as others who are part of our podcasting team have a variety of podcasts that are archived up at the Circle Sanctuary website. Go to circlesanctuary.org, and then you will find the CSNP section, and you can see more recent podcasts that are happening, as well as ones that are coming up. And we also have archives. I have a Circlecraft Studies podcast archives with some additional Yuletide information there. I want to give thanks to our podcasting team, David and Jeanette Ewing, and Laura Gonzalez, and Deborah Rose, all who are part of our podcasters. They're all Circle Sanctuary ministers, as well as Casey Pope, who is our social media coordinator. I invite you to continue to celebrate Yuletide with me and others from the Circle Sanctuary community. And another way of bringing Yuletide cheer during this pandemic year is to basically charitable giving. And I invite you to consider charities and being able to donate to those who are doing good works in the world. Circle Sanctuary, that brings you these podcasts and live streams. We live stream our full moons every month, and we have a whole host of other events and festivals. We're a nonprofit organization, and at this Yuletide, we're actually doing a special COVID relief fund to sustain Circle Sanctuary through this pandemic, to allow us to continue to keep our operations going. And if you are one of those who like to bring Yuletide cheer to others through charitable giving, I invite you to consider sharing information about Circle Sanctuary with others, as well as contributing to Circle Sanctuary. As you can join as a member, and in so doing, then you will be able to go to some of our online events for free. And if you aren't able to contribute money, well, share links, let other people know about the work that we're doing. And I do think it's important to be able to reach out and connect with others in face-to-face ways in cyberspace, which is a much safer way of doing our events this year. And I also invite you to consider yourself joining with others in inner space. So together in cyberspace and inner space, until it's safe to meet once again and gather face to face. And if you do end up having to travel or be at some type of event, I do encourage you to wear masks, practice social distancing, ideally gather outside with lots of space between you and others. We really do want to stop this COVID spread, and we want to work together using best practices so that humankind can move ahead and into some happier and easier times. So thank you all for tuning in. This is Selena Fox signing off from my Nature Spirituality Podcast, which is every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central, and from the Facebook live stream to my Selena Fox Updates Facebook page. Thank you all who have joined live, and thank you all who will be joining us through the miracles of cyberspace at a later time. Good Yule. Happy holidays. Blessed solstice time.
www.circlesanctuary.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSN podcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.